What happens after the most significant event in human history? I'm Chris Montgomery, senior pastor at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and welcome to Fraser 365. Today we're in a study called Victory, a journey from the cross to Pentecost. Our prayer is that through God's Word, you'll come to a greater knowledge today of what it means to be a disciple of Christ and live in the victory of His resurrection power.
Welcome to Day 44 of From the Cross to Pentecost. Today's devotional is entitled, Always by Our Side. Charles Swindoll wrote, "We are inseparably linked to Jesus Christ." Our text for today is John 14, 18 through 21. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Some thoughts on today's reading. As Jesus comforts his disciples, he assures them of God's consistent presence with them. They have no need to fear, because God will always be near through the Holy Spirit that will soon reside in them. John Phillips gives an excellent discussion on God's never-ceasing presence with his disciples as related to God's indwelling Spirit. He says, "The Christian life is a supernatural life. It is the life of Christ lived out in every believer by means of the indwelling Holy Spirit. In other words, his life is to be ours. This is stated in three ways. First, there is a word of comfort in John 14, 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." The word for comfortless is orphanos, from which we derive our word orphan. The only other place where the word occurs in the New Testament is in James 1:27, where it refers to literal orphans. The news that the Lord was going away devastated the disciples. They felt orphaned. They felt helpless and hopeless, bewildered, frightened, and lost. "I will not leave you orphans," Jesus said. "I will come to you." Here is a promise of his coming which is contemporaneous with his absence. True, he was departing from them physically, but he would be with them spiritually in a new way. Second, there is a word of commitment in verse 19. "Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also." The world saw the last of Jesus when it crucified him and sealed his tomb. Since then, it has seen him no more. The disciples saw him again in his various resurrection appearances. But that does not exhaust the Lord's commitment to his own. "You see me." The use of the present tense here indicates a continuing vision. It therefore means more than the resurrection appearances, which came to an end with his ascension. Those who believe in him will go on seeing him with the eye of faith until at last, as John puts it elsewhere, when life's temporal journey is over, we shall see his face. See Revelation 22:4. Jesus added, "Because I live, ye shall live also." With death staring him in the face, with sublime indifference to its outward threatening, Jesus boldly stated, "I live." He used the dateless, timeless present tense, indicating undying life. Death could not rob him of that. He lived even when he died. No man could take his life from him. He was in complete control of the entire process. He had an orderly exodus from this world and came back in resurrection power with the keys of death in his hand. Although he stood within a stone's throw of the cross, in divine self-confidence he assured his own that they were about to partake of the very life that he lived. We live because he lives. We shall live as long as he lives. We live the life that he lives. All this commitment is made good to us by the Holy Spirit. Finally, there is also a word of comprehension in verse 20. "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." This mystical relationship was made good on the day of Pentecost. The disciples were unable to comprehend the dimensions of all of this when the words were spoken in the upper room. The reality burst on them at Pentecost. Later, the Apostle Paul began to unfold its mysteries in his epistles, notably Ephesians. The Lord Jesus is in his Father, we are in him, and he is in us. This marvelous interlock of persons and personalities absolutely guarantees the transformation of our lives in Him by the transmission of His life through us. His life is to be ours. Further, His love is to be ours. See verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The Lord introduces us to a true eternal triangle, one in which there is no tension, only glorious oneness. There is our love for Jesus, the Father's love for us, and the love of Jesus for us. All three loves are mutually interdependent and all work together in harmony. All of these points lead to one incredible truth. Through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, believers enjoy an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ that is never void of His presence. Some questions on today's reading. What does it mean that God will never leave you as an orphan? How would the disciples still see Jesus when the world saw Him no more? And finally, what does it mean to you personally when Jesus says, "Because I live, you also will live"? Thanks for joining us.